Joe DeSena, CEO and founder of Spartan, and I've got an old friend of mine who happens to be a fifth degree black belt in the area of hybrid work. He owns a company called Dwell Optimal. And look, there's a lot of discussions around the world. I see it on the cover of the Wall Street Journal almost weekly. It fills my feeds on my phone. Workers are more productive at home. The office is dead. All these office buildings are going to go the way of the Grim Reaper. What do you have to say about all this, Greg?
Welcome to the Spartan Up Podcast, hosted by Joe DeSena, founder and CEO of Spartan Race, and brought to you by Wild Health.
We are talking about overcoming obstacles. The same way we teach people to get over obstacles on the course, we will teach you here on the Spartan Up Podcast to get over obstacles in your mind.
Get fully personalized healthcare based on your DNA, biometrics, and blood work with Wild Health, the official healthcare provider of Spartan. Go to wildhealth.com and use the code SPARTAN10 to save 10%. The number one workout recovery blend in America is now available with 200 milligrams of clean caffeine. Fit8 Energy is naturally sweetened with only 15 calories, no sucralose, no aspartame, and no compromises. Visit lifeaidbevco.com and use the code SPARTANENERGY to save 20% when you sign up for a subscription today.
Joe DeSena, CEO and founder of Spartan, and I've got an old friend of mine who happens to be a fifth degree black belt in the area of hybrid work. He owns a company called Dwell Optimal. And look, there's a lot of discussions around the world. I see it on the cover of the Wall Street Journal almost weekly. It fills my feeds on my phone. Workers are more productive at home. The office is dead. All these office buildings are going to go the way of the Grim Reaper. What do you have to say about all this, Greg?
A little bit. I'd say I'm a third degree black belt. I wouldn't give myself fifth degree status just yet. But in all seriousness, there is this huge experiment going on, the remote experiment. And I think prior to COVID, let's be honest, a lot of companies weren't remote. They weren't remote friendly. There was nothing about them that would be considered remote. And then lo and behold, you got 80% of workforce that are in some capacity working either remote first or remote only. So it has been a stark sort of new reality for a lot of companies. By the way, it's good to see you without a suit on.
I haven't worn a suit in a long time. Yeah. You and I last saw each other on Wall Street, so I had a suit on. But look, most companies, I mean, even when I think about Spartan, pre-pandemic, we had 500 employees around the world. 400 of them were remote. The 100 of them were around me in the Boston and New York offices. And that was awesome. What's happened now, when I think about our own situation, what's happened now is it's very hard to connect with people. Like, I was trying to reach one of our employees yesterday, and she was running somewhere, but she would get back to me and talk to my assistant about getting on the schedule for this week, which is fine. But then I thought, if that happens to me, you know, five times a day, I don't think I'm more productive. I feel less. I think people are more productive because at home, because they get, we all have lives and they get to do their stuff, but it's harder for me. I don't get to walk over to somebody, tap them on the shoulder and say, "Hey, let's talk about this one thing. Let's knock this out." Does that make sense? Or am I just old fashioned?
Well, yeah. And it makes total sense. I think there are advantages and disadvantages, certainly, to morphing into more of a remote context or remote first environment. You correctly pointed out that Spartan was largely a remote business because you were putting on races, as I understand, and a lot of people aren't in the office. I would say to some degree you're unique. A lot of the Fortune 500 companies clearly had more of a corporate context where people would come to a traditional office. And they're the ones that ultimately have to deal with these new realities. And it's new for them, right? I mean, I worked at Deutsche Bank and Morgan Stanley and other large investment banks. And I'd say 80%, 90% of that employee group was in the office. So when you look at that, there are distinct advantages and disadvantages. But to get to the point you just made as it relates to, you know, an employee, you have to give them now access to resources, access to opportunity that's equitable in nature. So you have people that are on premise it's easy for them to have access to your resources, to your time, to and to opportunities in the office. Those same resources and opportunities need to now be extended across a remote environment. That's difficult to do, to give them the time and the energy and the resources. So equitable treatment of employees across the hybrid spectrum is a huge thing to solve. And you have McKinsey and others out there solving it with white papers and ideas. At Dwell, we're building out actual work-live apartments that put productivity first. I don't know if I agree with you, Joe. I think people are more productive when they're being in a highly collaborative scenario in office. I think if you leave people to their own devices, they're definitely productive, but it might not be work that we're talking about. It might be personal life. There's something to be said about that, but at the end of the day, I think employers are trying to solve for productivity, and how do you do that in a remote environment? That's the biggest question.
You know, people are going to hate me for this, but I've done a lot of podcasts. I've talked to a lot of experts. And the number one motivator for our species is the avoidance of discomfort.
Right.
Right. We avoid this. Like, we have every intention of going to the gym in the morning. We want to get in shape. We put out a New Year's resolution. By and large, none of us get it done. You don't believe me? 5 a.m., Central Park, New York City, surrounded by 8 million plus people. And there's like four people in the park running, right? Four out of 8+ million, because they all hit the snooze button. They couldn't get up. My point is, do you think, given that context, given that human beings, we're all lazy at our core, we're lazy, that we're less lazy in an office? Is that like, because you get your coffee, you drive to, like, explain that.
Yeah, and again, I think the research is coming in, and you'll hear, you know, both sides of the argument. But from our perspective at Dwell, we think productivity is optimized in an environment where, even if you are remote in nature, you're connected to your respective HQ environment. If you're just left to your own devices, right? They say character is who you are when no one's looking. In the same way, I think work character to some degree is defined by how you work when the boss isn't around. And unfortunately, Americans, people in general, will gravitate toward something other than hard work. Hard work is hard at the end of the day. And what we all want is the most productive 8 hours of your day or 10 hours of your day. And that's what employers want. Employees want, you know, freedom of choice, freedom of opportunity, and all the things that come with being able to work anywhere, anytime. Fair enough, but they better be working.
Look, when I reflect back again, 400 of our 500 people have been remote forever. It's really the 100 I'm talking about. But, you know, Hearst Media, which is a 100-plus-year-old company, has been an investor in Spartan for a long time. They have a massive building in Manhattan, and they're struggling. Like, I think most companies in New York are struggling to try to get people back into the office. But I think there'd be a lot of people listening to this, Craig, that would say, Joe and Craig, you guys are crazy. We do so much more work working from home. There's no need to be in the office. All the data says we're doing a great job. We did it for 2 years while the pandemic kept us all home. I don't know. I like walking over and tapping somebody on the shoulder and say, hey, let's talk about that one thing. And then what about the people, by the way, that are doing a great job working their tails off from home? The managers and the colleagues don't even know that because they're right. holed up in their living room.
Well, and we're not trying to be the Grinch that stole remote work. Ultimately, you know, if you think first defining terms, hybrid work is really a spectrum, right? If you're fully in office, you're on premise only, well, that's not hybrid. And if you're fully remote, that's also not hybrid, right? Hybrid is that spectrum in between fully remote and fully on premise. And where companies ultimately come out as it relates to that is a function of what roles have to be performed, what functions lend themselves to more collaboration, for instance. So we did a white paper on this, 50 pages that we put out to companies. And we looked at different practices and implementations of hybrid work across some of the technology companies like Google and Figma and HubSpot, Spotify, for example. And each one had a little, and you're going to see this in corporate America, everybody's taking a little bit of a different flavor to this. And it's really in accordance with what they need out of their employees. So, yeah, let me take a step back. There are big advantages to being fully remote. You take a commute off the table, so that's probably an hour for a New Yorker that's sitting in Greenwich. That's an hour and a half a day of non-commuting time that could be otherwise put to work. So that's a strong argument. You have other things like reduced overhead for employers because people are not traveling as much. You have more productive time. You can access talent that you wouldn't ordinarily access because you can offer them a remote-only assignment. Those are the advantages. The disadvantages, however, are you have a lot of times time zone conflicts that creep up now because everybody's remote. If you're running a truly remote team, you might have 9 time zones that your poor EA or you yourself have to schedule for. The isolation aspect of being fully remote, how do you create a more inclusive environment for people that never get to see their boss, right? How do you give your time to somebody short of a Zoom call to somebody to really make them feel included? There's also, and we'll get back to this, a lack of accountability. I think you and I agree that if left to your own devices, not everybody, but the tendency is you're never going to miss a dentist appointment. You're going to make every personal appointment from home. That doesn't happen at work. You're there to work. So, not to be the Grinch, but I think that the productivity studies that we've examined have shown a little bit of a decline as it relates to productivity, as it relates to the work itself.
So you're saying people shouldn't go to the dentist anymore?
Not saying that, Joe. Don't put words in my mouth. No, I would say that there is a tug of war going on between the 83% of employees polled post COVID would rather work from home. I think that stands to reason, right? It's you take a commute off the table, you have a lot more freedom, and there are plenty of people in that environment that are productive, but hybrid work is that spectrum, and there is a case to be made to get people back in a office environment of some sort where they can truly collaborate. I would argue that collaboration truly can't happen in its most optimal format unless you're together, at least a couple of times a quarter. And I think the studies would indicate that that's an accurate statement.
So what do you tell people? Craig, what do you tell people? I mean, it's easy. Employers want everybody. Many employees want everybody back in the office. What do you tell the employees who don't want to go back to the office?
You've probably heard of the benefits of cryotherapy, but do you need expensive tubs and expensive treatments? We're going to talk about that. I'm Dr. Matt Dawson with Wild Health, Spartan's official healthcare partner. There are a lot of benefits to cryotherapy and just being really cold, from increasing your natural killer cells, your immune system, increasing brown fat, decreasing inflammation, decreasing other health risks, and actually just making you happier. You release a lot of dopamine when you get cold. But how do you do it? You don't have to do the expensive stuff, I'm here to tell you. You can start small and start easy, just maybe with a cold shower, or not a full cold shower, but at the end, turn the water all the way to cold for 5 seconds, 10 seconds, work your way up like you would with anything else. In general, the longer you do it, the more intense you do it, probably the more benefits you get, as long as you don't give yourself hypothermia, so don't go overboard with it. There are some considerations about when to do it as well. As an athlete, we know that you probably improve recovery with cold. We've been using that for decades, but the timing is important. Cold is a hormetic stressor. That's why you get these improvements. So is exercise. With exercise, you get some inflammation, which your body gets stronger from. If you shut that inflammation off immediately with cold, you may not get all the benefits of exercise. So maybe timing the cold for an hour or two after exercise is a better way to get the recovery benefits while also getting the hormetic stress benefits from the exercise. In general, just adding cold to your routine, though, is going to have really good benefits for you mentally and physically. It's a great thing to add to your repertoire.
Wild Health, the official healthcare provider of Spartan. FitAid, clean energy and sports recovery drink. The number one workout recovery blend in America is now available with 200 milligrams of clean caffeine. It's still got B-complex, BCAAs, glucosamine, CoQ10, and omega-3s. And it comes in 4 new electric flavors: mango sorbet, peach mandarin, blackberry pineapple, and raspberry hibiscus. It's the same legendary workout recovery formula, Fit8 Energy is a product of LifeAid, the performance beverage company, and the official partner of the Spartan Race series. Visit LifeAidBevCo.com and use the code SpartanEnergy at checkout to save 20% when you sign up for a subscription today.
What do you tell the employees who don't want to go back to the office?
Well, I'd say it's a big job market, and you will, I mean, there are, and we're seeing this, right? There are plenty of companies that are either making announcements that they're remote only, or they're remote first, or they're fully in office, and you're going to see a wide range of outcomes and responses to, particularly post-COVID, as to how work has to happen. So if you are someone who truly values and feels, quite frankly, that they're more productive, and would say to both you and I, yeah, don't believe that. Believe I'm much more productive at home, even with all the distractions, I can get more done. Then find the job and the opportunity that allows you for that. There are certain, as we looked at, sort of, for instance, Google, they're team-based in many respects. That collaboration effect is real, and they want it. So they do actually put together a format where people can have flexible days, although, you know, these hybrid work policies are changing by the minute. So, you know, one day they're, you know, 2 days in office, 3 days remote, and then they change that up. But a lot of these companies are creating flexible packages for employees to consider. And it's a part of the attraction and retention game now, right? You're trying to hire a full stack engineer that wants to be fully remote. If you don't give them that, they'll find somebody that is. So it's really a tough equation to solve if you're an employer. And that's one of the reasons Dwell Optimal is working hard on building out flexible policies in accordance with our physical spaces to facilitate hybrid work. There's no one answer, one size fits all for each corporation.
What do you think this? What do you think the landscape will look like 20 years from now?
Well, you know, we would argue that remote work was in full effect well before COVID. And one of the reasons I sort of dreamt up Dwell, which is, maybe I can throw a shameless plug in, we build physical spaces that put work in front of live. And really think of an apartment where there's a study and an office that's airlifted in. So it's not just a task table with a stand-up desk, right? It literally is an area within a bedroom or within a one-bedroom apartment that is devoted to work. So that is the physical design, and then we pair that with software that ultimately enables remote work to be connected to their HQ environment. So software plus hardware plus protocol equals an effective hybrid work environment. That's our equation. So we have a physical design that really looks at a work-first implementation of apartments. We have software, and then we have a protocol, which is our Dwell Doctrine, as we call it, which looks at things like access to resources, access to opportunity, all the advantages and disadvantages. And then we try to work with companies to say, where do you want to be on that spectrum? If you're a remote first company, then that's where you want to be, and that's what you want to accentuate on the attraction and retention campaign trail for employees. We can work with you. If you want to be fully in office, we can work with you. Protocol, you're probably not going to want our spaces. But to answer your question, in 20 years, I think technology was really what ushered in remote work. It wasn't a pandemic. It wasn't a virus. Zoom, Slack integrations, all these sort of tools that now allow people like you and I, we're talking, we're probably 500 miles away from one another. You feel like you're right here, but you're not. So that didn't exist 10 years ago in any real way. Now you have the ability to do everything in the cloud, everything through technology. And that really was, and I'd say in 20 years, the idea of metaverse applications and the ability to be in virtual conference rooms, travel will be a luxury item. It won't be needed. So we are trending toward a remote-only sort of environment, but for the time being, collaboration happens in person, and we have to solve for that hybrid spectrum.
We have a lot of young people that work for Spartan, and they're actually saying they want to be in an office. They want to collaborate. They want to see other people, but the folks that are a little bit older, that already have, you know, tenure with Spartan, or they've had a few career, they're leaning towards, you know what, I could be a lot more efficient not in traffic. So I've got this tug of war going on between young and older. What are your thoughts there?
Well, and again, I think hybrid work is attempting to solve this across the spectrum of their employee base. So you have functional differences, you have certainly age differences, seniority differences. So an effective organization has to embrace it all. And it's difficult to do, but one of the areas of consultancy when we think about this stuff from a hybrid perspective is how do you create this effective working environment that blends both remote and on-premise operations concurrent, right? And so it involves thinking about how you schedule meetings. It involves, as we've talked about, equitable treatment of employees, both remote and on-premise, building relationships. So virtual happy hours happen now, as a matter of course, employee accountability and welfare, taking into account, obviously, health and well-being, and the mental strain of being sort of isolated. There is also a hybrid work etiquette. Obviously, we've all been on those calls where somebody thinks their Zoom isn't working or isn't on and the camera's actually on. So nightmares ensue. The reality is there's a lot that can be solved for to implement hybrid work in an effective way. And it involves, you know, a protocol. It involves thinking about putting yourself in the moccasins of both your most senior employer and your most junior employee. And thinking about it from all those different dimensions. So it's a heady exercise, but it's one that has to be solved if you want to be effective and competitive.
All right, give me two or three things that will help optimize the employee's experience at home. Like what could they do to make it better for not only themselves, but for the company they work for?
One of the things we've been studying is this notion of, and I obviously there's a lot of work on this and it's really your field, but getting people out of the office, even if they're home, right? Because you have an area that you gravitate toward to get all your work done. It's your workplace. But, you know, getting the blood moving, I'd throw it back your way. We think health and well-being and fitness in particular is vital whether you're in the office or out of the office, remote or on-premise. And in a remote context, it's setting up these hours or these minutes where you actually have to get up from your desk and do something other than work so that you have a second half of the day that is productive. What's your thought on that?
I mean, come on. You're asking the exercise guy about exercise and health and wellness.
It's a softball.
That was a softball. I would argue we are lazy creatures, all of us, me included. And you need a little bit of a nudge. We're in an office right now. I've got a little office going on here in Florida, and they basically ring a bell every hour, and we do burpees. We do 10 burpees. It's a little harder if you're alone in your house, but if you can get something to nudge you up and off the couch, get the laptop off your lap, right? Maybe change from pajamas into some shorts and do a workout. It could be simple. Listen, at noon yesterday from this office, I ran a mile with a colleague, and it was an easy run. We weren't breaking any records, but the sun was out. It was 1 mile back to work. It recharged me. So, oh my God! I mean, if we could somehow convince people, I can't even get people to work out in a gym, let alone
right. Well, and that kind of gets back to the adage that we've talked about is like, you know, the easiest way to do hard things is with other people. I'm convinced of that, right? And I'm sure your work with Spartan has probably proved this. You know, people will do amazing things if they're around a team, right? If they're alone, well, it's an isolated incident and it's tough to motivate. So you've built a business on team motivations. I think with respect to hybrid work, one thing that we're doing and we're spending a lot of time sort of, I think it's an innovation, is this concept of a virtual HQ where everybody has to literally plug in, whether you're on-premise or remote. So imagine a device that everybody's face is on a camera. You're sitting in front of your respective desk. Everybody's on mute, but there's still the collaboration. There's 20 people, 10 of which are remote, 10 are in office, but you almost don't know it because we're all up on the board. And so you have virtual HQ hours, maybe give it 2 or 3 hours a day where everybody has to sign on. And that creates this network effect that otherwise wouldn't be there. There's a whole sort of rule and etiquette around that because now you're sitting there with your camera on, you forget that it's on, but we have a playbook for that. And so virtual HQ environments, I think, will be the next thing as it relates to pulling remote and on-premise together.
I like that a lot because in the example I gave earlier where I had an idea but I couldn't reach out to the person, I could just click on their square on the screen.
Exactly. Yeah. Or pull somebody into a little virtual conference room. So, and you have big companies like Microsoft and others that are solving for this from a technology standpoint. I think that's the future. I mean, the reality is most people will be remote, I think, as we move on this through this decade. I think a lot of people are done with the 9 to 5, get on a train, you know, show up with their lunch pail and spend that time in the office. And I don't think companies are going to get that flexibility or that power back. But how do we create better working environments? That's the goal. And, you know, it'll be an interesting ride.
Two tips to the employer?
Well, I think you have to recognize that if you want the best people, whether it's, you know, hard skill, knowledge worker, they're going to have their list of demands that are a response to the marketplace, right? And so I don't think you can go in there dogmatic and say, this is what we do. Everybody has to be in the office or everybody. I think you have to be flexible. That's what hybrid work is. It's a spectrum. And if you really want to foster innovation and have innovative people working for you, they typically do want some degrees of freedom. You know, I started this conversation talking about getting everybody back to the office, understanding that that's not a realistic goal. But, you know, that collaboration effect, that's on you as an employer. You need to foster collaboration. You need to figure out a way and be flexible in your approach, because I think that the scale is going to be constantly shifting in the direction of remote. And if you don't embrace it, you could find yourself on the outside looking in for sure.
And the last thing I'll leave you with is, it feels unfair to me that our folks that work for us that are in the field, their office is in the field, building obstacles, executing events.
Sure.
They can't do that from home. You know, if you're in a retail business, our buddy Saks Fifth Avenue, 45,000 employees,
yep.
they can't sell ties in the store from home, right? So there's so many people, probably a large part of the population, they got to go to work. So it almost feels like feels unfair.
Yeah, and a lot of work is being done around equitable treatment of employees, regardless of what their function is, whether they're on-premise or remote. And you're right, there are industries that have forever been remote. I mean, if you're a medical device salesperson, you're probably in the office once a month. You're really on the you're talking to doctors. You're in the field, as you say. So not every company is going through this metamorphosis, but a lot of them are. And a lot of them are like, wow, I have to, you know, I have 25,000 square feet that I'm paying for in Manhattan, and I got 10 people coming to the office. What am I doing now? Right? And where is my productivity? I'm not seeing it. And even if it does exist, it's sometimes difficult to see it, right? If you were primarily an on-premise organization. So, you know, solving for that has been the biggest challenge.
Well, you're the man. I'm out of here. I might go work from home the rest of the day.
as we talk, well, you're at the office, I'm at home. But the reality is, this is the new reality, as they say.
You're the man. I'll see you.
All right. Thank you, Joe.
All right.
The number one workout recovery blend in America is now available with 200 milligrams of clean caffeine. FitAid Energy is naturally sweetened with only 15 calories, no sucralose, no aspartame, and no compromises. Visit lifeaidbevco.com and use the code SPARTANENERGY to save 20% when you sign up for a subscription today. Maximize energy, optimize nutrition, and improve performance with Wild Health. Personalized precision healthcare built for Spartans. You'll get a personalized health plan based on your DNA and biometrics and the support of a team of health experts. Sign up at wildhealth.com with the code SPARTAN10 to save 10%.